morning. How's everyone? I had a great week, fantastic week, but I never said I don't have problems. It was good problems. You know, the Lord would always bring new challenges into our lives, isn't it? It's part of Him wanting to use us. But, you know, every time after you have overcome or in the process of overcoming a certain situation, you tend to look back and, you know, review and think about, Lord, what do you want me to learn? And I recall the time when I was in Thailand. I cycle a lot, beautiful routes that, you know, we can go on. No traffic lights, rolling hills, beautiful sceneries. But there's these two particular climbs on these routes that I go on. One is short, but steep. The other one is not so steep, but very long. So when I first go on that route, someone led me there. And you can see the short climb, but, you know, it's kind of like when you're riding, it's hard to judge how steep, because at that time I was still quite inexperienced. But the moment you hit that climb, you're kind of like, you know, one word come into mind, the moment I hit it, but I cannot repeat that word. It's like, you know, and you quick, you know, you go into a frenzy trying to switch gears, and you use up all your gears already, but you're still not climbing. You're like, very slow. And just 30 meters shy of reaching the top part of that hill, I gave up because it's just too difficult. So you come down, you push your bike, and you're cursing yourself. Why can't I just finish that last 30 meters, right? And then you go to this not so steep, but very long ride, long climb. And in your mind, it's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know? But the moment you overcome and you go over the hills and you're coming down on the descent, it's lovely. All right? You go on cruise and you just enjoy the breeze that is beating on your face. And then you look back and you're like, wow, sure, you know, let me do it again. So the next time you plan your route properly because you now know where are those climbs. As you're approaching that steep climb, you know what gear to use, you pedal to gain momentum so that, you know, when you hit the climb, you let the momentum carry you as far or as long as you can so that you don't have to pedal so much and you know which gear to use. And then as you hit the long climb, instead of saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You will be saying, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Okay? Because you already picked out certain landmarks to help you mark the distance. All right? So it comes with experience. So, you know, every time you're going through a problem in your life or situation in your life, and then you look back, you think about, as you reminisce on those difficult times, but you also think about the sweet victories. And so the next time you go on those routes again or go through those experiences again, it's no longer complaints or curse, but you're like, you anticipate and you know that God is going to be there to help you overcome. And those will be sweet memories, sweet victories. So, in other words, to encourage us, we can be used by God. God wants to use us, but what does it take to be used by God? So, let's go through those points again. Point number one and two as the ones that we talked about last week. So, to be used by God, you must abstain from all distractions. Look ahead and forget about the past. Then look away. Remember, let's go back to A. Look ahead and forget about the past. Remember the term used in psychology, ruminate or rumination. That means stop dwelling upon the past because those are situations and problems that are unsolvable. They are beyond your control. By dwelling in the past, it's not going to help you. Instead, it's going to let you plunge into distress. and create a lot of emotional stress. And then you look away and ignore distractors. And we highlighted those distractions that are very, very draining. And finally, look out for evil. In other words, look out for tendencies. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil, meaning look out for tendencies that will cause you to fall and run away from it. Number two, I must acknowledge God's purpose and plan in my life. Now, I often have people come to me and ask, how do I know God's purpose in my life? That's a good question, but let's look wider. Because everything that God does and plans since creation, it's always, everybody is part of that plan. So if you isolate yourself by asking that question, God, what's your plan for me? Then you're missing the point. But instead, when we pray and ask for God's purpose and plan in our life, you must consider it in the wider and overall plan of God. Look into the whole overall context by praying, God, what is your plan for me so that that plan you have for me can fit into the overall good of this community called Heritage Baptist Church. So you must always consider that. Because if you were to only pray for yourself, you will be very limited. You will naturally allow your own limitations to restrict and set the perimeter of your prayer. Don't do that. Think of the overall, think of the greater good, because God has everyone in that plan. God's purpose cannot be undone. God's purpose will last, and God works through all situations to fulfill His purpose. So last week, I gave a challenge that everybody go back, pray about it, think about it, about something that perhaps God wants you to do, or maybe suggestions for the church. I'm not part of the leadership, but I'm sure with all suggestions that is coming from you or are coming from you, the leadership will consider, all right? And Matthew there is smiling behind his mask, right? yeah, keep them coming. And true enough, last Sunday, after I finished preaching, at about 10 plus at night, eight plus at night, I received a text message from one of our individual in our church. And long message, very good message. The person has indicated the desire to serve, area that the individual would like to be involved. I have to be very careful not to reveal the gender. All right? But the person is excited, thanking God for the opportunity to actually reflect upon the question and pray, what would the Lord have that individual do? So, in effective mentoring, you ask questions. So instead of, I answer the person's question by asking 4 to 5 questions that the individual will consider. And the individual reply and say, I will consider and give you a reply soon. I say, take your time. So after 5 days, on Friday, I receive the individual's response, a very, very well thought through response, and I was so excited to read the response, and I'll be keen to engage the individual in a further discussion. So, please, be like the individual that was sitting there, thought about it, went home, thought about it, prayed about it, and gave very serious thought in penning the response. So, okay? If you have my number, if you don't have my number, some of you has it, go ask them. I'm not going to flash it up there because it's live streaming. I don't want the Tai Yi Long to start coming after me. No, I'm kidding. So, what about this part two? We can be used by God, part two. And there's no part three. But still, I'll be preaching next week, but on a different topic. We can be used by God, part two. Third point, I must anticipate God's help. I must anticipate God's help. God promises His power to do whatever He tasks us to do. So when God helps us, He helps us by giving us His power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Jesus' parting words to the disciples, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses or martyrs or representative of my faith, or your faith, of me, unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, the word power there has its root dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. All right? Have any one of you played with fireworks? Like, you know, Philippines have, right? Sure, we miss it, right? Thailand, we also, $50, we can buy the whole, you know, armory of fireworks and create our own NDP. Lovely. Every New Year, we'll go there and shoot fireworks at the beach. Lovely. So there's one time I bought this bazooka. It's about this long, this big, but one shot only. It's not like those that multiple shots, huh? Just one shot real hard and boom. So I bought, I bought five. So line them up and light them, and so you'll be in rhythm, right? Boom, 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 boom. So it was the first time I bought that. I bought several others, but that bazooka one was my first time. So lit it up. The fuse started burning, and I, of course, run, right? So it was about, I counted 5 seconds, nothing. Nothing happened. So okay lah, SAF lah, huh? Must wait for a few more seconds, right? So waited. Really nothing leh? So I thought, safe already. So walk towards. The moment I bent down, squatted down and checked, the whole thing exploded in my face. But not this way lah, but went up. So I lost my hearing for temporarily. But talk about the boom. Shock, man. I mean, it threw me backwards, but I know it was in shock for a while, but let's do it again. So I set up the second one and I burned it. And the second, third, fourth, and the fifth one worked fine. And we had a wonderful time. But the power was great. So same thing. The kind of power that God can give us is very, very effective. It's accelerating. It gives you the adrenaline rush, because you say, wow, if God can do this miracle or achieve, help us achieve this result, we will crave for more. And I've shared several of my testimony to you, you know, about, you know, giving certain amount of money to God or trusting God to overcome certain problems. And once God proved Himself that He could do it and answered our prayer and supply our needs, we are kind of like, what's next? Take me to the next level, right? Some of you who play games, I usually don't get past level 1, but I wish I can get past level 2. I mean, level 1 to get to level 2 to see what else, right? That's why when we were young, you have all those arcades, Space Invaders, Galactica, or whatever. God knows how many 20 cents coins I put in those machines. It used to be 20 cents only, huh? Now, what, $1.50, $2? So, you are looking forward to the next one. So, we have in Genesis chapter 17, we have Abraham was 90 years old, and 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and gave him a promise. And he said, "I am the mighty God, almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or blameless." So, to experience God's power, I must, number one, believe that God can accomplish the impossible. You don't just listen to Jason's story and say, oh, that's a good story, or Eddie, or Pastor Crocker, or any of us missionaries who come back and tell you stories, and, wow, tell us more story. You know what? It's nice to tell story, but it would be better if you take that story and say, I want that in my life too. And you yourself experience the power and you get excited. And then it marks the start of a journey of you experiencing God's power because you have experienced the impossible become possible because you allow God to do so. Be blameless before God. That's what God told Abraham. What does that mean? To be blameless does not mean to be sinless, but it does mean to sin less. Okay? To be blameless doesn't mean that you will be sinless, but you should sin less. In other words, your mind is so devoted to the things of God and to God and God alone that you do not have enough brain cells left over to think about other thoughts. And therefore, you sin lesser and lesser and lesser, and you become blameless because you're so careful about your walk, your personal walk with God, that you are so afraid, or in, you know, Brother David mentioned earlier on, reverential fear. You're so mindful about not honoring God, and therefore you walk perfect. You walk blamelessly before God so that people will see Christ in and through you. And finally, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So before I became a Christian, I ever got drunk before. And you cannot control your thoughts, your actions, you speak nonsense. And to be honest, okay, that moment, that brief moment, shook. Hi, why? No worries. Alcohol completely took over. I was a teenager then, before I became a Christian. To be filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, don't be filled with the effect of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. So instead of that alcoholic high, you are spiritually, quote unquote, high. And that means you allow the Spirit to take control. How? How is that going to happen? How can we do it? Well, Paul actually gave the answer right after verse 18. He says in verse 19 to 21, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. I'm not going to take time to go through these verses now. In fact, before the close of the sermon, I will revisit these verses. But right now, how do we fill ourselves with, how to have a Spirit-filled life? Paul gives the answer right here. So in anticipating God, in anticipating God's help, it also means to realize that God promises His presence. Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here I would like to tell you a story of SG, right? I cannot reveal his full name, but SG was someone that I witnessed to this past Thursday. Okay? And I was at the same table with him, having dinner with him and a couple of about four other guys, so a total of, four other guys. And we're just chit-chatting. SG is he's loud. Not very refined and typical AB, I mean. All right. So, he was just hand gestures all over the place. he was having dinner and food was just coming out of his mouth. Just rough, very rough guy. So he's one of the residents at the Helping Hand, and I asked him, "So, how are you coping over here?" He said, "Okay lah, you know, it's been there for 3 to 4 months, 3 months. And I said, "So how are you coping with the Bible studies?" He said, "Pastor, I give you face. When you're teaching, preaching, I don't sleep." I said, okay, thank you. He said, "Bala." And then I said, "You know Jesus?" He said, "Come on lah, if Jesus want me to know him, he must come to me lah." All this is in Hokkien and Chinese. He said, "Must come and see me lah. If they don't come and see me, how I know him?" He said, "But here every day we talk about Jesus." "Yeah lah, but he haven't come and see me leh. How I know him?" I said, okay. So I'm praying, "God, man, how to get through to this kind of people lah?" So right at that moment when I was whispering that short prayer to God, another resident came with a big bottle of F&N Cherryade or whatever you call it, the red color drink, okay? And with a, you know, handful of glasses, he placed it down and start pouring. SG said, "Wow, this one blood of Jesus." I said, "Huh? Why you say blood of Jesus?" He said, "Oh, in the prison, when people come, you know, Christians come and do chapel, they do Lord's Supper, no?" He didn't say Lord's Supper, but I knew what he was talking about. "Well, they serve this red color drink, and then got biscuit to eat some more." I said, you're not a Christian, you eat. I said, "Of course, I got free drink and free food." "Why?" I said, okay, fine enough. He said, "But you understand or not?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Why must drink the blood of Jesus?" I said, "Alama. Thank you, Lord." In my mind, it's like, SG, you don't know what you're asking for. You ask Jesus to come, right? Jesus coming already. So I took the opportunity, shared the gospel with him in, of course, Hokkien and Chinese, and just went on and on. And SG just sat there like a baby and just listened and heard the whole presentation. I said, "So how? Believe or not? Jesus come to you already, you know?" He said, "Well, yeah, ho. But 50-50 lah." I said, "Okay, 50 better than zero." I said, "Okay, but I'm not going to ask you to do that prayer thing because you're not ready. But you understand, right?" I said, yeah, I understand now. Because blood of Jesus very clean. My blood still very dirty. So Jesus' blood must come and clean me, right? I said, "Correct." I said, "But a bit hard lah. Wait lah. I said, "Okay. Just now you say Jesus must come to you, right? Jesus come already. See the blood of Jesus, right? So now, it's your turn to go to Jesus." Say, okay, give me time. So you see, God has His unique way to make His presence felt. In our case, in that dinner, it came in the form of F&N red color drink. Okay? And gave us the opportunity to talk about Him. So, when you say, "I want to be used by God," you must anticipate God's help by realizing that He has promised His power, His presence, and thirdly, His provision. Matthew 6:33 say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So in the Helping Hand, I've initiated this 3M strategy in doing ministry, so based on Matthew chapter 6. So Matthew, first M, ministry before money. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's our ministry. All these things in terms of money and all this material things, in other words, will be added unto you. So 3M. So let me tell you another story of, give me a reason to give you more money. So I'm currently this spiritual mentor, but the CEO has also added one more thing to my portfolio. I'm supposed to do partnership as well, outreach, and outreach as in not sharing gospel outreach. Outreach meaning telling people to give us money. So fundraising. All right. So about 3-4 weeks ago, a church contacted us, and this church was involved in doing Bible studies. as you know, they have sent volunteers to us, and they'll do Bible study on Tuesday nights. But because of COVID, they were not able to come, because prison would not allow us to have outsiders to come in. But now that the measures are more relaxed, they would like to explore and say, hey, can we come back now? But first of all, they would like to meet us again. So we arranged for a Zoom meeting. And the head of the pastoral team said, Pastor, since you're our spiritual mentor, we'd like to introduce you to these people from this church. I said, sure. So I thought I'll just appear in the Zoom meeting, show my face, and say, oh, my name is Jason. I'm the spiritual mentor. I joined in April. Nice to meet all of you. That's it, right? Simple introduction, which I did. And they went on, the meeting went on for the next 5 minutes, and they say, oh, besides Bible study, we would also like to explore more areas of partnership because we have a pool of funds that we would like to, you know, see if we can help you. Then there was a few seconds of silence, and everybody start looking, you know, even in Zoom, you can tell that they are looking at you. All right. And I took the cue and I said, okay, and good thing I was in front of my computer. I have all my spreadsheets with me. So I pull out all those spreadsheets and say, okay, these are the project, how much we need, the reason we are doing all this, blah, blah, blah. And the representative from the other church say, oh, great. Let me present this to our ex-co and we'll get back to you. So true enough, less than a week later, they sent us an email and say, okay, we have narrowed, of all the projects that you have mentioned to us, we have narrowed down to these four or five of them. And let us know the budget. So I gave them the budget. And we spoke for a little bit more. And on the 28th of December, I received an email from them and said, their request, they requested to see the audited financial report for the last 3 years, which I directed to them. And then he replied, "Say, actually, you all got a lot of money leh, in your reserve. And so these were the words. Can you give us a reason why we should give you more money? So happened that was my first day, the first day of my leave, my annual leave. And so I say, oh, I'm on, very good excuse. Huh? I say, I'm OOO now. I'll get back to you later. OOO means out of office. So, but meantime, I texted my CEO, hey, how to answer? And I said, don't worry, set up a meeting and we'll, after you come back, and then we'll have a Zoom meeting with them, which we did. And my CEO presented all the reasons. But one of the things that stood out was the 3M strategy, ministry before money, which he used that to explain why we needed more money because of the shortfall, so and so forth. And the person in charge said, I'm so glad you mentioned that you are intentionally directing your focus away from social enterprise to focus on spiritual things, the spiritual therapy. So for that, you have given me a good reason to push your project to the ex-co. So after the meeting, I kind of look at my CEO with that one, you know, the eyebrow one side raise up one. And he's like, okay. So God is going to provide. It's not a whole lot of money, but every cent count. So as I look at this year's strategy, it's going to require a lot of faith and a lot of sacrifice on the part of every single staff member. But as they begin to experience in their own personal walk with God, the power, the presence, and the provision of God, giving them opportunities to have a foretaste of those three P's, power, presence, and provision of God, they will get excited. Yesterday, we had an event at 4 o'clock at the Helping Hand. It was part of a fundraiser called Run to Restore, which took place last year. But one of the category of Run to Restore was GEM, Go the Extra Mile, GEM, Go the Extra Mile. And that is to invite members of the public to sign up, and then we'll pair the member of public with an ex-offender, be it a resident or a staff member. Timothy Chua was there. He signed up and he came, and I paired Kumar, right? Kumar was his GEM partner. So all in all together, I selected, handpicked 10 residents and staff whose faith is stable, faith in Christ is stable, they've made a profession of faith, but I'm giving them a reason, an opportunity to share their personal journey of transformation, how God has changed. I don't know what Kumar shared with Timothy, but if it's the same story that Kumar shared with me, Kumar is only 20 days older than me, but had a very, very, very rough past. If it's the same story that he shared with Timothy, then I'll be very excited and happy, because it's such a precious evidence of how God could take someone so rough, so unrefined, polish it, and today Kumar is a gem, shining for Jesus Christ. He's in our ops department, by the way, and going around caring for the residents. And not just them, the other nine. One of them is called Moe. Moe means mo peng, you know. What's mo peng in Cantonese? Very rough face. Right? He's one of the guys that you see him, you zao first. Very rough gang leader. Right? His name is Peter. But Peter, every morning Peter will come into my office and just sit and talk for 10 minutes before the morning devotion starts. Share with me his stories and all that. And he has a lot of questions, good theological questions. To come from this guy who's a gang leader, rough, and now he's just, you know, the fiery and fierce eyes is now just like a little lamb, you know, looking at you with such endearing looks. It's just amazing how the Lord just transformed people. And then he's When I told Peter about this GEM event, he said, Pastor, give me those hardcore ones. Those haven't believed in Jesus Christ. I said, I don't know who is who. They only got their names. I don't know if they are Christians or not. But we pray. Then after the walk, he came. He said, Pastor, not challenging. I said, what happened? Fellow Christian. I said, how? But you all did talk about good stuff. You know, we talk about how God changed our life, but I want to present the gospel. No chance. So, just to see them being excited to talk about Jesus, right? God can change, and God's power, God's presence, and God's provision will assure you to do great and mighty things. So, let's review these 3 points. I must abstain from all distractions. If you want to be used by God, you must abstain from all distractions. You must acknowledge God's purpose and plan, and as we covered today, anticipate God's help. Early on, I mentioned that we'll revisit this verse. Be filled with the Spirit. It is to speak to yourself spiritual thoughts. Giving thanks always rather than complaining and be negative. And finally, humble yourself. Submit yourself one to another. David has finished the program about 3 months ago. According to the feedback I got, David was another hardcore. Always giving problems. This was his second or third time at the helping hand, and God knows countless time in the prison. So his final, this last time at the helping hand was an 8-month program. And they said, David is different now. But since it was my first time, and by the time I knew David, I saw a different David already, not the David of the past. And David has on several occasions come to me and voiced out his struggle. Now he's been on that other side of the camp where he was the troublemaker. He's never happy. Anything that goes wrong is others' fault, never his own fault. And he was sharing with me that certain disciplinary measures that were meted out to residents, to him was unfair. He said there's favoritism. I mean, just complain. And we tried to explain to him. But on Friday morning, I noticed David was a bit, his countenance was not good. And he said, yeah, Pastor, I'm overwhelmed by heaviness. I said, okay, let's pray. And in the evening, I texted him. I said, David, how are you feeling now? So he called me and we spoke for about half an hour. I'm going to spend all that time to tell you all the details. But basically, the sharing was very heartwarming and very encouraging because, David, you could tell these three verses exhibited in his sharing. Instead of complaining, David was saying, you know, Pastor, I used to come to you and just complain about this and that, not fair and this. But now I fill my mind with spiritual things, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. To myself, he said, when I see something that I feel that is not right in my own opinion, in the past I will confront, but now I step back and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And instead of complaining, he said, God, thank you for showing me this situation so that I could reflect, what is it that you want to teach me? And finally, he said, I learned to submit because it's not about me anymore. It's about how God is going to use me. To me, that was like, David, I think the Lord has taught you the lesson on brokenness. You are now broken, but not just one time, you will be broken a few times. Let me just tell you first. But this is a good experience. He said, yeah, Pastor, you're right. God is taking me through the process of being broken. And we all need to be like that. In order for God to use us, we must recognize the fact that we need to be broken. And this is how we do it. Filling our minds with spiritual thoughts, giving thanks, and be humble. And I'll close with this quotation by Andrew Murray. Be filled with the Spirit is simply this: having my whole nature yielded to His power. When the whole soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit, God Himself will fill it. God Himself will fill it. But you must allow Him to do so. How? Yield. You know what's yielding? When you lean against the wall, when you're tired, you want to lean against the wall, you just throw your whole weight on it, right? Because you know that the wall, the pillar, the post, it's going to support you. And the moment you lean, somehow it just takes the pressure off your knee joints or your ankles. And you feel, I'm a bit rested now. Same thing. You must just put your whole weight upon Jesus. And then somehow that strength that is in that post, pillar, or wall will somehow be given to you and you feel that, hey, I feel supported. Why? That's spiritually, that's what God is doing. So, allow yourself to be filled by God. I mean, used by God. And I will continue to put that challenge out there, just like that individual in our church said, I want to do this. I wish to do this. I hope you'll go back and consider, think about it, and let us know. Let Matthew know. All right? Or if you want to ask me a question, I'll be more than willing to chit-chat with you. But more importantly, let's march forward according to the drumbeat that God has set, the rhythm that God has set for Heritage Baptist Church. Let's pray.